Would you take your seats? Would you please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, and we will read verses 35 through 38. Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 35. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this precious opportunity that you have given us now to come and to sit at your table and feast from manna from on high. We pray that you would speak to us, give us the ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Open up our minds and our hearts that we are able to receive even when it offends us or challenges us or pushes us beyond our comfortable places, but make us ready to receive what you have for us today, so that when we leave this place, we are not just hearers of the word, but doers also, because we realize that it is in doing the word that we receive the fruit that the word produces. So we thank you for clarity of thought and speech. We thank you for the settlement of your word in this house this morning and the revelation of your glory in this place that has been set aside for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 35, is a very familiar passage of scripture, and the Lord has laid it on me to share a message with you today regarding this scripture. And I will admit, and I'll kind of give you a disclaimer, that this message is not for everybody, that some will hear this message and you'll go home and you'll continue to live your life the way you were living it before you came in here today. But there is at least one person in the room today that's going to take this message and do what it says. And as a result, you are going to experience God, see his hand, see him move in your life in ways you never imagined. It might be one. I hope it's more than one. I hope it's two or three, because there's a lot of work to be done. Hallelujah. And if we can get together, then God will move on our behalf. Last disclaimer, this is not what I had planned on speaking today. I'd studied something else all week until after our prayer on yesterday, and God said that was for you, and this right here is for them. So you are getting what I am called to deliver to you this morning. Amen? All right, now that we've gotten that out the way. All right, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. Verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. This is the word of the Lord. I am thankful for the presentation that we had on last Sunday from our dear sister Joan, who spoke to us about her providing psychological first aid and compassion fatigue support to the residents of Puerto Rico after the hurricane, the three hurricanes that hit them recently. I'm also encouraged by the number of people who approached her afterwards, very interested in seeing how they can be a part of providing psychological first aid to those who are going through traumatic experiences, and people are excited about the course that's going to be offered here by the founder of that organization on July the 21st. So I was encouraged by what I saw on last Sunday. After service, I was speaking with them, Joan and her husband, in the office, and I had a conversation with them and said that, you know, I imagine that you've had to make some significant sacrifices in your life in order to be available to be used by God in this capacity. That there's some things you had to say no to, there's some events you couldn't go to, there's some places that you couldn't be involved in because you had decided to give your life over to God and allow him to use you in this particular capacity. Because we realize that serving God requires a sacrifice. If you're going to make yourself available to God, there are some things you are going to have to say no to so that you can say yes to God. And so you will live a life of sacrifice. And then yesterday after our prayer walk, we came back in here and we were praying some more, praying for this community, praying for this church, praying for the hand of God. And while we were praying, the Lord spoke to me and said, "Why is it that everything you do for me is considered a sacrifice?" Then I thought about the fact that even as a pastor, I'm always thanking people for the sacrifice of coming to church. Thank you for the sacrifice of coming to prayer on a Saturday morning. Thank you for the sacrifice of coming to Bible study. Thank you for the sacrifice of working with our youth on Wednesday night. And then I thought about it. When is the last time you went to work and your supervisor said to you, "Thank you for the sacrifice of coming to work today"? Have you ever gone to a restaurant, ordered your food, enjoyed your food, paid for your food, and before you left, the waiter said, "Thank you for the sacrifice of coming to our restaurant today"? Have you heard people say, "You know what, this summer, I'm going to make a sacrifice and go on vacation"? Why y'all laughing? No. This is what they say. No. Friday night, I'm going to make the sacrifice, and I'm going to go see Black Panther. That's going to be my sacrifice. And then on Saturday, I'm going to sacrifice and go to the Mall of America. What a sacrifice that is. I may have to sacrifice something after I pay for everything, but or do we say, "I'm going to make a sacrifice and spend time with my family on Sunday afternoons"? Probably not. We don't consider those things a sacrifice. If the president or the governor or the Queen of England would reach out to us and say, "I need you to serve on an initiative that is important to me and it will move our government forward and it will be a blessing to millions of people," we would not consider our service to the Queen of England or to the government or to the governor as a sacrifice. We would consider it a privilege to be asked to be a part of something that is important to a governmental ruler. Get that letter of invitation to come and be a part of something that impacts the entire country, and we will consider it a privilege. And yet, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the eternal ruler of the universe has invited us to participate in something that he cares deeply about. And anything we do for him, we consider it a sacrifice. We had to sacrifice time with our family. We had to sacrifice our talent, and we give it up to the Lord. But then on our jobs, we don't sacrifice our time. We offer our talents and our gifts and our experience to our workplace. But when it comes to the things of God, oh, what a great sacrifice we have made. Something is wrong here, y'all. This must change. It is true that serving God will cost you some things. There are many things that you're going to have to give up in order to serve God completely. You're going to have to give up depression. You're going to have to give up loneliness. You're going to have to give up feeling like your life is worthless. You're going to have to give up wasting money on things that cannot satisfy. You're going to have to give up unhealthy relationships that don't bring you closer to God but pull you away from God. Yes, there are some things you're going to have to give up if you're going to serve God completely. And there are some things you're going to have to let go of. You have to let go of unforgiveness. You have to let go of resentment. You have to let go of anger and frustration. Yes, there are a lot of things that you have to give up in order to follow Jesus. It is going to cost you your own will and your own way. And yes, there are some pleasures that we will see the world enjoy, but if we are going to follow Jesus, we have to give those things up. This is what Jesus said in Mark chapter 10. You should jot this down. Mark chapter 10, verse 29 through 30. He says, I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the gospel's sake will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property along with persecution. And in the world to come, that person will have eternal life. We give up things in the world, but we receive eternal life. What we receive from God is greater than anything that we are called to give up. The thing is that what God wants for us, and I know I've said this 1,000 times, but what God wants for us is better than anything that we could ever want for ourselves. And if God wants us to give up something, that means he has something better for us. Hallelujah. Anybody know that's the truth? That have anybody ever had to give up something that wasn't good for you and you were holding on to it, but finally you had enough faith to let it go, and what God gave you is much better than what you had to let go of? That's how it works with him. You know, spring has finally come to Minnesota, and summer soon to follow. Anybody glad that spring has finally come? Come on, can we just praise God for that? Man, we can go outside and enjoy this weather for the next couple of weeks. Y'all know how it works around here. And because of this, many of us, myself included, are making plans on what we're going to do on our vacations, and we're making plans on what we're going to do around town. The wonderful thing about living in this area is that there's so many amazing things to do in this area outside, especially during the summer and the spring. I just recently discovered Lake Elmo Reserve Park. Is that what it's called? That is not my favorite place on the planet right now. I'm out there every other day. I was out there yesterday with my girls in the rain. And I said, I don't care if it's raining or not. We're going to enjoy the rain outside. But then when the lightning came, that kind of changed some of our perspective, right? But we're all making plans on how we're going to enjoy ourselves for this spring and this summer. The point of this message today is that as you are making plans for what you are going to do this summer, make plans to be used by God. Plan on being available to God this spring and this summer to participate in what is important to him. I want you to know that God is always actively performing his will in the earth. Every day that goes by, God has an agenda. He has something that he's doing, something that he's accomplishing, and he has invited all of us to participate in what he is doing. But we have to make ourselves available to be used by him. When we're planning our vacations, most of us, we do the research. We look for the location that we want to be at. We look at the places that there are to stay. We look at the activities that you can do in the area, and then you count up the cost. Can I afford this? Well, we can stay in this hotel, but not in that hotel. We can go to this activity, but not that activity. And many of us spend many months. I've been planning my vacation since last January. I cannot wait until August gets here. A lot of energy and a lot of effort goes into planning activities for our family and our friends during the spring and the summer month. And what I am challenging you today is to take that much energy that you spend planning your vacation and your fun times during the spring and summer, take that much energy and plan on making yourself available to be used by God. It is one thing to sing a song, Lord, I'm available to you. Lord, I want you to use me. But if you sing those songs and you don't change how you live your life, if you don't plan on being available to God, that is just a song. That is just something you say in church. But if you are serious about being available for God, there are some things that you have to do in order to be available for him. So let me challenge you. There are three things that I am challenging you, and then we're going to go into the scripture, but three things that I'm challenging you to do. If you are serious, again, this is not for everybody, this is for somebody. If you are serious about being available to God, there are some things that I want you to consider. First thing I think you need to do is don't use all of your vacation days for you. Look at you. Look at the eyes that are rolling in this house. I'm just kidding. Part of the reason why we are not available for God when a kingdom need arises is because we have used up all of our time for ourselves. So I cannot take off in the middle of the day to help somebody who is in need because all of my days are booked already. I used up all of my real sick days, and I used up all of my mental health days where I just need to unplug. Y'all know what a mental health day is. You call with something in your throat, and what you really need is a break. So you used up all the days that you have. So now when a need comes up, you're not available because you've used up all of your time. But if you're serious about being available for God, you have to be intentional about what you do with your time. And maybe you don't have vacation days off. Maybe you can't plan it out that far. But whatever time that you have, what do you do during your downtime? Do you spend your downtime only being available for the things that you want to do? Or are you seeking opportunities to be a blessing and an encouragement and minister to somebody else? Are you looking for an opportunity to partner with God and bless somebody else? So consider what you're doing with your time. The second thing is also offensive. The second thing I want to challenge you is don't spend all of your vacation money on your vacation. Let me just turn to this side. Come on, Dana, back me up on this point. Huh? But put some money aside so that if there is a need that arises, and not your own personal need, but a need that somebody else has, put some money aside so that you are able to help them. The problem that we deal with is that we say we want to be available, we say we want to help people, but when the need arises, we have spent all that we have, so we're not able to help anybody else. When issues come up, there are two things that we need to resolve issues that come up, kingdom assignments that come up, kingdom needs that come up. There's two things we need, time and money. Do I have a church here? You need time to help and you need money to help. And the issue is not that we don't make enough money or don't have enough time. The issue is that we spent all of our time and we spent all of our money, so we don't have time or money to be a blessing to somebody else. Some of us have more time than money. Some of us have more money than time. But all of us can do something to help the kingdom if we are intentional about it. If you plan on being available, you will be available. Some of us are not available because we don't plan on being available. We plan on doing what we want to do. We don't plan on being available for God or anybody else outside of what we want. But we lift our hands and say, God, I want you to use me. But we have no plan. We don't plan on how we can be available to be used by him. So set aside some time, set aside some money. The third thing is you ask. This is the research part. When you're researching a place to go on vacation, you're asking about what's the best place to go, what's the best hotel, what are the best activities. And so how do we ask? We pray and ask God and say, God, I have set aside this time and I have set aside this money. How do you want me to use this time and this money for you? Who do you want me to serve? Who do you want me to minister to? Where do you want me to go? Because I have set aside this time for you. And because God is always active, because God is always busy doing something, because the needs are always great, God will always give you an answer on what you should do with the time and the money that you have set aside to be used by him. And then when you get finished talking to God, you can ask me. There's a lot of work to be done in this community this spring and this summer, and all of it requires time and money. And if you get extra time or you got extra money and you don't know who to bless, who to reach out to, who to minister to, talk to me. I'll give you some suggestions about where the need is. But we don't take time to make ourselves available to God. The difference in this text, we read this text and we see that the Bible says that Jesus went from town to town spreading the good news about the kingdom and healing all manner of diseases. This is the picture of the ministry of Jesus. He would preach and heal. He would preach and heal. And he did that from town to town. Everywhere he went, his message was clear. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Everywhere he went, he would heal those who were sick and needed healing. But in the next verse, verse 36, it says that when he saw the crowd, the Bible says he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Listen, Jesus looks at the crowd, at the condition that they are in, at the state of their affairs. And he doesn't look on them with condemnation and rebuke and judgment, but he looks on them with compassion because he identified the fact that they were confused and helpless, not ignorant and rebellious and stubborn, but confused and helpless. And I want you to know, my prayer is that as we look around the people who are around us, that we will look at them through the eyes of compassion, not judgment, but compassion. That we will recognize that they are confused and helpless. They have no direction. They are like a sheep without a shepherd. Let me tell you, there is a difference between having compassion on somebody and feeling sorry for them. Feeling sorry for them doesn't provoke you to move and do something, but having compassion on somebody provokes you to do something about their situation. When you look at somebody and you have compassion on them, you ask yourself, you ask God, what can I do to help? There has to be something that I can do to help. And my brothers and my sisters, there are millions of people around us every day who we have put in categories, and we have called them rejects, and we have called them disobedient, we have called them arrogant and infidels, and they don't love God, they don't want to to know God. And the reality is, as long as you put people in that category, you are not moved to do something about their situation. You are only moved to do something about their situation when you look at them with compassion. Say, that could be my child. That could be my spouse. That could be my loved one. I know what it's like to be going through life confused and helpless. Anybody in the room ever been confused and helpless? Some of us are confused right now. We're confused about our purpose. We're confused about our agenda. We're confused about what God wants. And I'm saying to you this morning that God is inviting you to participate in what he is doing. So Jesus looks at the crowd. And in the next verse, he says, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. King James says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Can I tell you that in the kingdom of God, the harvest is people. In the kingdom of God, the harvest is not a well-put-together program. The harvest is not a nice building. The harvest is not a good reputation. The harvest is not agendas that are promoted by organizations. But in the kingdom of God, the harvest is people whose lives has been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that the harvest is plentiful. In other words, there is a great number of people who are ready to hear and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that it is not true that nobody wants to hear about God. It's not true that nobody wants to follow God. It's not true that nobody is seeking for an answer that's bigger than themselves. It is not true. This scripture says that the harvest is great. There's a great number of people who are ready to receive the gospel. If you look at a city that has 200,000 people, if only 10% of them are ready to receive the gospel, how many people is that? Thank you, 20,000. What if only 5% are ready to receive the gospel? That's still 10,000 people. So Jesus says the problem is not with the number of people who are ready to receive. The problem is that there are not enough people to tell. There are not enough people working the field. Because here, if you're going to reach 20,000 people, to get to the 20,000 yeses, you have to go through 180,000 no's. 180,000 times, you have to ask somebody to come and they say no to get to the 20,000. That's why there's not enough laborers, because I can't reach 200,000 people. And the laborers get discouraged because they invited 50 people to church and nobody came. So they're frustrated. I'm not going to invite anybody. Stop inviting people when you have invited 200,000 people to come. Jesus makes it clear that it's not enough workers. There's not enough people who plan on working in this field. There's not enough people who are willing to change their lives to be available to serve in the kingdom. He says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Oftentimes in church, when I hear people talk about the harvest, they speak of the harvest as a time of celebration. They speak of the harvest as a time for feasting and celebrating all that has been accomplished. But that's not the correct perspective of harvest time. Any farmer will tell you that harvest time is when you do your hardest work. during harvest time, that means it's time to reap the harvest, that's when you work from sun up to sundown. Huh? That's why we have daylight savings time, so that the farmers will have more time in the field to collect the harvest. Because when it's harvest, harvest time is not celebration time. Harvest time is not party time. Harvest time is working time. So I want to say, it is harvest time. It's very much it's harvest time. The fields are white with harvest, ready to be harvested. So this is not the time for celebration. This is time to work. There are people around you ready to hear and respond to the gospel. But we have to be willing to do the work. The reality is that they're not coming in here on their own. We have to go out, the Bible says, and compel them to come. Here is the mistake that we have made, that I have made, and many others have made, that we will pray and we will say, God, send them in. Send them from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Send them from every corner of the earth. Send them in here. But that's not how it works. It's never worked that way. Can I offend myself this morning? That prayer really doesn't make sense. That's like me going to my house and sitting at a table with my family and friends, and outside there's a field full of corn, and I'm sitting inside praying, Lord, send the corn in, send the food into the house. Somehow that food is just going to appear on my table, and I can fast and pray all day, and guess what's not going to happen? We're not going to have dinner until one of us get all away from the table and go out to the field and pick what is ready to be harvested. Notice what the next verse says. He says, so pray that the Lord of the harvest will send more laborers. He tells us what to pray. He didn't say pray for the harvest. Pray that there be more harvest. Pray that more people will change their mind towards God. That's not what he said pray. He said pray that there will be more workers. Oh, man. So maybe my prayer is wrong. I'm praying for those who are ready, and I need to be praying for those who are working. Because can I tell you, the only people who pray the prayer asking God to send more workers in the field are those who are working in the field. And maybe that's why we don't pray this prayer. Because we're not really working in the field. Because the worker in the field who brings in 20 baskets cannot celebrate those 20 baskets because he knows he left 100 baskets in the field because he didn't have enough people to bring in the 100 baskets. And everybody's saying, oh, you brought in 20 baskets. Oh, what a great harvest. And his heart is broken because he left 100 in the field. And if he just had a few more people to help him, he could have quadrupled his harvest. Can I bring this right to us? I am, and Luke and Lauren know this, I am so excited about what God has done in our Awana program. Can we praise God for our Wednesday night Awana program? It has been a blessing to our church. It has been a blessing to the 40 young people who have been a part of it. But my celebration is a little hampered. I'm thankful for the 40 kids that were here. But my heart is broken because there's at least 50 more that could be here on Wednesday night. But the problem is they don't have an adult that will bring them. We don't have enough people that will go out, go to their house, pick them up, bring them here, let them do what they do here in Awana, and bring them home. So yes, I celebrate the 40, but I'm weeping over the 50 that are still out there who hasn't been touched. Because we need more workers. Can I challenge all of us? When is the last time that our prayer focused on asking God to send more workers in his field. Now listen, we all get things that we need God to do. All of us have challenges in our families and everywhere else. And the Bible says we should cast our cares upon him. The Bible says we should pray about those things. But that can't be the only thing that we pray about. We can't only pray about what our family needs and what we're going through. At some point, our prayer has to graduate to the place where we pray about workers in the vineyard, where we look at people and say, God, there's so many people here who need your message, and I can't do it by myself. God, send me some help. Can I challenge us? Everybody should be working on some kind of kingdom assignment to the point where they say, God, I could reach more people if I had more help. Let me say it again. Everybody in this room should be working on some kingdom assignment where you get to the place where you realize, God, my reach is limited because I don't have enough people helping me reach the people who are confused and lost like sheep without a shepherd. The problem is we are so self-centered in our society, and as long as our house is good, we are good. But I pray that we graduate to the place where we are not okay until everybody is okay. I pray that we graduate to the place where we are not satisfied with the message of the gospel until everybody has received the gospel. When is the day coming when we pray for household salvation? When is the day coming when we are willing to give up our own agendas so that somebody else can know the Jesus that we serve? Don't be discouraged. The issue is not that people are not ready to receive. The issue is that there are not enough people willing to get out into the field and do the work. Got to do the work. Here's my conclusion. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying today. I want you to enjoy your spring and your summer and go on vacation. Have a good time. I plan on having as much fun this summer as I possibly can, because this winter has been long and hard, and we survived. So we're going to get out and we're going to enjoy ourselves. But we also need to plan on being used by God this summer. That when we are working out our calendars and we are looking at our funds and we're transferring money from one account to the next and we're looking at what we're going to do, we have to include in our plans, God, I want to make sure that I'm making plans to be available, to be used by you, not sometime in the future, but this spring and this summer, God, I am available to be used by you. I want to participate in what you are doing this spring and this summer. So I challenge you to be more available to be used by God. I challenge you to allow God to disrupt your summer plans so that you can minister to somebody who's at the point of eternity. Do y'all realize this is a life and death situation here? We're not talking about cotton candy and bubble gum. This is life and death. Eternity is at stake. People are leaving this world without Jesus, and we are enjoying ourselves. I challenge you to care about what God cares about. God cares about people. When you serve people, you serve God. When you minister to people, you are the hands of God. And God is busy, you know what? And God works through people. When tragedies happen, you can stand to your feet because we're done. When tragedies happen, people say, where is God? How did this happen? Where is he? And I'm going to tell you, like Sister Joan said to us on last Sunday, every time something happens on this earth, God has people on the ground being his hands, being his feet, and being his mouth. Are you going to be one of those people that God can call at the last minute to meet an urgent kingdom need? because you've made yourself available. It is harvest time. It's harvest time for this church. That means it's time to work. It's time to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a song we used to sing a long time ago. It says, I'm available to you. Listen to these words and then we'll pray. It says, you gave me my hands to reach out to man, to show him your love and your perfect plan. You gave me your ears. I can hear your voice so clear. I can hear the cry of sinners, but can I wipe away their tears? Listen to this. You gave me my voice to speak your word, to sing all your praises to those who never heard. But with my eyes, I see a need for more availability. I see hearts that have been broken, so many people to be free. Lord, I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I'll do what you say do. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way and enable me to say, my storage is empty and I am available to you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege it is to participate in what you are doing in the earth. We thank you, God, for the invitation that you have given to us to come out of our lives as we have predicted or planned for it to be, and you have given us a new set of agendas. You have given us a new plan and a new purpose. We thank you, God, that the gospel has reached us and it has challenged us and changed us. God, we thank you that when you looked on us, you looked at us through the eyes of compassion. You saw that we were confused, we were desperate, we were helpless like sheep without a shepherd. But we thank you, God, that you didn't leave us how we were. Hallelujah. But you called us by name and you have changed our life and you have established our destiny. And we thank you for that today. Now, God, this message today has challenged us. It has provoked us to be more available to you. It has challenged us to make plans to be available to you. So now, God, we surrender ourselves to you. Those of us who have heard this message today and has been pricked in our hearts, and even as this message has gone forth, you've been speaking to somebody, telling them what they need to do. God, we say yes. We say yes to your will, yes to your way. We do it all for the sake of the gospel. God, we thank you that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. God, we pray this prayer that you will send forth more laborers into your vineyard, into your field. And God, we say, send us. We are available. We are willing, God, to do whatever it takes, the long days and the short nights, whatever it takes to bring somebody into the kingdom of heaven. God, make us available. Make us willing, hallelujah, to say no to what we need to say no to so that we can say yes to service with you. Thank you, God, that you are changing our language. Serving you is not a sacrifice, but serving you is a privilege. Hallelujah. Serving you is not something we have to do. Serving you is something we get to do. And we thank you for the privilege to work with you on what is important to you in this earth. We thank you. Out of all the people you could have called, you called us and said, I want you to work with me. I want you to serve with me. Hallelujah. And so we thank you for the privilege it is to be called your servant. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Give us strength. Give us courage to be all that you have called us to be. These blessings we ask and receive them now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.